Good morning, evening, or afternoon, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Waldman's Words. My name is Emily Burke. This is actually my second attempt at doing an intro. The first one was a complete and total mess, and you would think by now that I would know how to do these pretty efficiently. I do come on here every single week and just talk my brains out for 3 to 5 minutes about, one, the guest, of course, because that's what the intro is about, and two, basically nothing. It's just me spilling my thoughts. So super grateful for this platform just to ramble for 5 minutes. Sometimes you need it, you know? And thank you guys for listening. So this is attempt number two. There's still a lot of background noise because I am at home and I have new neighbors that are redoing and gutted their entire house. They're really nice, so I'm not going to say anything bad about it, but damn, I hate the sound of a drill, especially during quarantine. But we're going to look on the bright side, and the bright side today is Logan White is on Waldman's Words. Logan is the digital content editor at Substream Magazine. He is also a podcast co-host. He was a great guest. So Logan, thank you so much for coming on. If you are interested in writing and music journalism, or maybe you're in a band and you want to pitch to places like Substream, for your own band, if you're a manager, if you're a publicist, what are people looking out for at these publications? What's going to get their attention, or what's going to make them move it to the trash immediately? So if you're interested in any of that, please stick around. Or if you like Logan or you like Waldman's Words, just listen to this episode. I think you'd enjoy it. I know that I did. In the meantime, I'm going to kind of use these intros as a weekly check-in. So if you haven't checked in with yourself in a while, how you doing? You hanging in there? I hope you're doing well. I believe in you. The world gets weirder and weirder every day. I'm going to say it every single week just because I know everyone's feeling a little funny. But we're super grateful for you guys tuning in every single week and listening to the show or listening to our podcast. Every single guest that we've had on, including Logan, we're super, super grateful for you for coming on and doing this during a pandemic, because, you know, sometimes it kind of sucks doing everything from your house. But we're super glad that Adobe is airing our show and that we even have a show and a platform to begin with. And we're still able to do this, even though the world is going down the drain. But I still believe in humanity. And there's a really great Neil Gaiman quote where, when stuff is shitty, you just got to make good art. I don't know if I consider Waldman the word art, but it's definitely a great outlet to express, as in these intros. I'm getting really, really deep. So if you listen to the show and you've taken up a hobby or you've taken up some arts and crafts, we'd love to see it at Waldman's Words. What are you doing to pass the time? I feel like I've reverted to my high school self because I'm quarantining with my whole family and I'm taking up the sports I did in high school. So I'm swimming a lot and playing volleyball. I'm moody and existential. So that's what I've done. Hopefully you guys have put your energy towards something like baking or writing your film script or making a music blog, something to the lines of Substream. If you're interested in that, keep listening to this episode. See how it all comes around full circle. So before I'm out of time, hopefully you guys are listening to this live. And if you're not, then you know you can listen to it live every single Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Or we rerun Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Pacific time. Or you can listen to this anytime that you want, including this episode, the day after it airs. It will be on Adobe.com, Spotify, iTunes, and your Amazon Alexa. Just ask Alexa to enable Adobe Radio, and you can listen to Waldman's Words, including the Logan White episode, anytime that you want. I think that's pretty much it. I hit all of my points. You guys know who Logan is. Hopefully you're pumped up for this episode. We did our daily check-in. I rambled for a good minute. Complained about my neighbors. I don't know what else you guys need. So I'm going to head off here and we're going to start the episode after these ads and music. Bye.
All right. We are here on Waldman's Words for the umpteenth week in a row, recording remotely. I'm very sad that I don't get to see Jed Fuchs and Emily Burke in person, but I'm very happy that every single Wednesday we're recording the show, and it'll go up on Tuesdays about a month later. And we've got Logan White, who is the digital content editor for Substream Magazine. And you know I'm a big fan of Substream. What up, White?
What's up, Scott? How's it going?
You know, I'm recording these pandemic episodes. I wrote a status shouting out the lovely Jed Fuchs, who you just met, and Emily Burke, who you've been with. And you are currently in Ohio, correct?
That's right. Yeah, I am quarantined in my house in Ohio. I just got done mowing the lawn, so that's like the most normal thing I've done in a very long time. So yeah, I'm just hanging out, trying to do my best to get through this like everybody else.
If you're mowing,
you're staying in your home, which sounds like normal info, but it nowadays makes you a hero.
That's right. I am a hero. Thank you for acknowledging that. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, you are. Joel wrote about on The Color and the Shape, but I'm curious as to, you know, you're mowing the lawn. I guess if you're doing it in the pandemic, are you mowing your lawn without a mask? And then as soon as you're done mowing, you put a mask on? Thoughts?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's a good question. So it was actually just my backyard. So I was a little bit more reckless, so I didn't wear a mask. You know, I've got the nice little fenced in backyard, so no one's really coming near me anyway. But if I'm going to go out front where the kids are running around and they've got their hoverboards now, so that's always reckless. So I have to wear a mask to make sure I don't, you know, they don't cough on me or vice versa. Yeah.
You need to make sure that Biff from Back to the Future.
Is this one of those things where if it wasn't a pandemic?
What?
If it wasn't a pandemic, would you have mowed your lawn, or is it just giving you something to do?
So it's been a very long time. I've needed to mow it for like forever, but because it was the pandemic, I didn't, and I just thought, well, you know, fuck it. Who cares? Who's going to judge me for my high grass? But I got tired of looking at it. I was just sitting on my couch today, and I was like, you know what? This is unbearable to look at. And I just did it. And then I just did it until it was done. And now I feel infinitely better about myself.
We book our...
Also, this is very much a pandemic episode of Waldman's Words.
This is...
No, I'm sorry. I feel like we're on the interrupt.
As we said in our intro before the intro, none of you will ever hear. But we book our guests for this show based on the height of their grass. So I'm glad that you took care of that shit.
Yes. Yes.
But Emily, you go. You go.
I did.
Sorry. I think you're on a 1 second lag. So I keep thinking there's like silence. But this is very much the pandemic episode, because I like how we're like, oh yeah, I mowed my lawn today. And all of us are like, whoa, it was exciting. How was
it? You bathed today? Nice, dude. Yeah. Nice.
What? Oh, what a crazy time.
Logan, we're so excited to have you on, man.
We are.
You have a really unique perspective, and we're definitely going to grill you about it
once we get
into the heavy details. But we want to just hear a little bit more about where you came from and how you got to doing what you're doing today. Where are you originally from?
Yeah, so I am from here. Like, I always kind of grew up around this area, and there wasn't a lot to do in the small town I lived in. So I lived about 45 minutes like northeast of Columbus, which is, of course, the lovely state capital and biggest city here. So I always was like coming to Columbus because there was nothing else to do. All the concerts were here. Everything that was worth going to was here. So I always said I just grew up in Columbus because I spent a lot of time here. So this was, when I decided to start doing music, I was only a junior in high school, and I realized that I didn't have enough talent to actually be a musician. So I thought the next best thing would be to write. And that's kind of how that just came to mind. And yeah, it was an interesting time getting started, but it was a lot of fun.
Right. Those who can do.
And those who can't teach. But yeah. In regards
to those who can't do anything, right.
Yeah, right about teaching. But basically, with you though, like, I mean, you're fibbing a bit. I've seen some videos with you singing, some early to mid 2000 hits. See, we do some
the old emo karaoke.
Carry me emo K.
That's right. I love it. Yeah.
Well,
That's right. Yeah. I mean, listen, doing karaoke is one thing, you know, because I don't have to write it. I just get to sing other people's words and try not to butcher it too much. So they've done all the heavy lifting.
Well, that's most pop stars too, but I digress. But back to you. So when you were growing up, were you infatuated with any local bands, or were you kind of just listening to stuff that you saw on MTV or you listened to on the radio?
So it was a lot of radio stuff. So my brother gets a lot of credit for bringing me into like some alternative music, because my father didn't listen to music. My mother really listened to a lot of country music, so she would always show me like things like Toby Keith and stuff like that, which is great. But my brother was the one who, there were some CDs that he had, which was Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. He had the Get Rich or Die Tryin' album by 50 Cent, that one Confessions album by Usher, and then Chocolate Starfish by Limp Bizkit. So those were like the first four non-country artists I listened to. And that really has still lasted through this day.
Those are the four major food groups.
That's right. That's right. Four types of people in this world, and it comes down to those four albums. So
yeah,
that is everything that matters.
I'm a chocolate starfish person, but that's just me.
Yeah, that album's good. Yeah, I love it.
Half Confessions, half Take Off Your Pants. It's, you know, everybody's on this spectrum.
Take Off Your Confessions.
That's right. That's right. That's
right.
And listen, I'm sitting here looking at a Live, Laugh, Limp Bizkit sign hanging up on my wall. So that's all you need to know about Limp Bizkit.
Oh, no. What? Like the stereotypical white woman wall hangings, but way cooler and doper?
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome.
That's a bigger one that I've seen.
Thanks, Karen. But did you, when you were, you know, rocking out to like My Way by Limp Bizkit, like how old were you?
So I would have been like, and then, so I was in elementary school, so I'd have been like 8 or 9, like around then, when like I was listening to this, and I didn't really know what they were talking about. I didn't know what a chocolate starfish and hot dog flavored water was at 8 years old. I didn't, and my father didn't care, and my mother didn't really listen to that, so she didn't know, you know. So it was just, yeah, we were just hanging out, was going to elementary school, you know, singing Hot Dog in my head. I'm just like, how many times can I say fuck within school without getting in trouble, you know? So 46, yeah, it was, right? Yeah, that's right. 47 times. So yeah. It's a good time.
It really is. And it's quite a crazy album title and a crazy album. And people really discount Limp Bizkit, but in the late 90s and early 2000s, they were probably one of the top 10 biggest bands in the world. But I digress. Were you listening to any local Ohio people? Because obviously in, you know, the mid 2000s, Ohio was often quoted on t-shirts with Hawthorne Heights.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, growing up, like when I was that young, I certainly didn't, you know, but once I hit high school, I kind of shifted a little bit more to some local music. My first ever interview was with a local band, City Lights at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was when I was 16, but up until then I was really like, until I started discovering music on my own, it wasn't really a lot of local music. So my brother didn't really care. He didn't come to the city as much. So it was really up to me at that point to get music that wasn't on the radio.
Get yourself your own education.
That's right. Exactly. So that old Columbus, Ohio education, music scene-ish type thing, which is about as interesting as it can get. It's as interesting as it sounds, which is not just truly not that much.
And was that kind of the, which is truly not that much, but was that, but was that kind of your like semi eye-opening moment where you were like, okay, wait a minute, this is something that I can actually like do and not just observe and appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. There was that, you know, there's a lot of fun that I had going to all these concerts and going to like the old like AP tours when those were a thing. Like they would come to Columbus all the time, and City Lights played those, like played it one day when Set Your Goals dropped off or something similar to that. And so that was when I was like, yo, like I like that band, and now look at them up there. And it was kind of like, what can I do to do that? Like, what can my, like, not claim to fame be, but what can I do to be more involved and like helping that local band that I listen to get these bigger opportunities? And it was just one of those things that kind of, it snowballed from there.
Sounds like.
Again, those who can't do teach, you saw that opportunity and you were like, wait a minute, get my hands in here, do something about
it. That's right. Yeah, it was cool, man. It was a lot of fun. It was just an eye-opening thing of, like you said, I can't do it. I can't be on stage. So what can I do to help those that are? And writing about music was what I came up with.
And you said that you started doing that, like, would you say in the middle of high school, like you around junior year, or when did you start really diving in?
Yeah, I was 16, so I was my 2010. So this was May of 2010 when I started my first website. So I would have been a sophomore in high school getting ready to go into the summer before my junior year.
And you started your own site. What did that entail? Is it because you didn't really have an outlet to write elsewhere, or you just wanted to have your own thing where you had complete creative control?
Yeah, I was, you know, I didn't have a lot of connections. I mean, at that point when I was 16, the only websites I knew that I read, at least, were Alternative Press, Absolute Punk, and Property of Zach. So I didn't have any connections to get into any of those. And I was just some like 16-year-old kid. So I said, what can I do? Fuck yeah, I'll start a Tumblr. So I started a Tumblr, did that. It was a lot of like just ranting about music at first, but then I kind of figured out like if I wanted to be taken a little bit more seriously, I had to like rein it in and kind of do things in a more traditional way that weren't just, hey, this band is great, this is why. It was more of like, here's going to be an album review, here's a news thing, and so on and so forth.
I kind of want to talk about the importance of Tumblr, because I feel like a lot of what's brought up on this podcast is from an older generation. And so brought up a lot, but I am part of a generation where I was at the very tail end of MySpace. So the music coming from that already in the mainstream, it wasn't played on anyone's pages. No one really cared. But what was really important is Tumblr. And I think this is the first time that's ever gotten brought up about like music blogs and music being discovered on Tumblr.
Yeah.
Can you kind of talk about like that and also the kind of people that like frequented maybe your Tumblr page?
Yeah. So, I mean, Tumblr, a lot of people, you know, if you're someone that's a music fan now and you're 16 or you were my age when we were all on Tumblr, or you and I were on Tumblr, maybe not Scott on Tumblr, but when we were on Tumblr, the bands the bands that can thank them, their careers for Tumblr, the first thing that comes to mind is Man Overboard, you know, because that their record leaked on Tumblr so far in advance. And they just embraced it and said, fuck it. You can post pictures of, you know, that Tumblr was a big factor for them, and the defend pop punk and the whole like putting lyrics over top of a band performing in a crowd, like whatever. So Tumblr was that bridge. Like when MySpace died, that was where people went to find those bands like Man Overboard, Transit, Balance and Composure, Tidal Fight was massive on there. So
Wonder Years.
That was like, the Wonder Years were huge on there. Like everyone was posting, you know, I'm not a self-help book, I'm just a fucked up kid. And like it shaped like the one-liners, like writing perspective, I think, because if you could write a good one-liner in 2010 to 2013, you're probably going to get big on Tumblr.
It's very lyric driven.
Right.
It is. Yeah. It was very lyric driven in a very like different way when MySpace wasn't so lyric driven, because it didn't have that imagery behind it, where Tumblr was the things that got big were the images, not necessarily just the text or not just the clips of music, you know. So it was very different, but it was a very, very intriguing time to be a music fan.
Yeah.
The aesthetic of it too, I feel like it's kind of, I'm about to make a comparison, but in the time of the 80s when MTV came about and music videos started to become bigger productions, in the early 2010s with Tumblr, now everyone needs to have an aesthetic look and a one-liner. And that became a bigger thing.
Yeah.
People are creating easily, like easy symbols that people can recreate. People are creating good-looking album covers, and like they're more aware of what they're putting on social media. And I think like the social media buzz also came from Tumblr as well, because if you put out a really good picture, that gets reblogged even if they don't know who your band are. So I think like the biggest ones that come to my mind are The Story So Far got a lot.
Absolutely.
Mob Deep had a huge amount because of their logo. People just liked it.
Yep. Yeah.
and RIP, but Brand News, The Devil and God, like their album cover, Love on Tumblr, even if they didn't know who the
was. I just want to say something very quick that I don't know if Logan and Emily realize they have this commonality, but the reason I met Emily was because she was writing online and she wanted to write about a band I was working with, not working with, actually was in, called Greenlight Theory. So that's how we met, like in the same way. So Emily knows what it's
like. I didn't know that.
Why writing hustle?
Yeesh. I was a writer for like 2 years. And then I'm like, you know what? I hate words and grammar. And I started working with Scott and I just have him check all my emails for grammar.
That's what I do.
Yo, we just got like the Batman origin story on YouTube.
Yeah, geez, right? Look at that. Batman and Robin over here.
Yeah.
So Logan, you...
I'm more Robin than Batman. Yeah. She's tougher.
That was going to be my guess. I was going to guess who was Batman and who was Robin. And that, I was going to... No offense, but I was going to lean to you, Scott, being Robin. So I'm glad you know that that's what this is like.
Why would you do that?
Yeah. It's cool, man. I'm Alfred. So.
Alfred? Okay.
Yeah. And Logan, I think that makes you a shoo-in for Catgirl. So...
Low. I'm down. I am down. Catgirl deserved respect. I will give the respect that she deserves.
Yo, Jed, you're being...
I'll take that. I'll That's just do the sick. Rest of this show through a mask then and talk like a jerk.
Yo, Batman. Batman is fucking stupid. I'm going to say that on record. He's like, I'm Batman, dude.
Wow. This is now an anti-Batman radio show.
Damn right.
No more music.
Well, what has he done during the pandemic? Nothing.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Where's he been? We put out the signal every night. Haven't seen him.
That's right. He has been nowhere. He's a coward is what Batman is. Damn if you think right. About it.
Yo, let's bring this back to music and Logan. Wait, how are we doing? Looks like we're
doing it. So Logan, that's funny that Emily brought up, MySpace, because MySpace was hit by like everybody. Every subgenre of high schooler went to MySpace. But by the time of Tumblr, it had a more, distinct user base. So do you think that it was the type of person who was frequenting Tumblr and finding your written word that helped you take the next steps in your career? And what were those steps?
Yeah. So Tumblr, it was interesting to get big on, like have a decent sized blog on Tumblr because there was no shortage of music blogs on Tumblr. And the thing that the thing that really existed on Tumblr was like websites or blogs leaking music. So the 2010s of like leaking music has been around forever, but Tumblr didn't really do much to stop it. And, so you had a lot of like music websites, quote unquote, that were just leaking music. And so to break through in a time like that was very interesting and very difficult to kind of separate as like a legitimate or as a sort of legitimate website ran by, a high schooler. But it was easy in the sense of you didn't have much competition because much of that competition, aside from Property of Zach, which was a Tumblr website, was just those like blogs that were just leaking music and this and that, or only quoting like those pictures with lyrics on them. So it was cool to kind of have a following that came through that was just desperate for new music and desperate for something that wasn't just the same picture over and over. And I think coming up on that and shifting away from Tumblr when Tumblr kind of started dying a little bit and not, embracing where, you came from with Tumblr, because I still used it up until the end, but it was such an interesting time coming up through Tumblr when everyone was coming home from school, they were logging into Tumblr, they were just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling for hours and hours, kind of what people do on TikTok, but with just, Tumblr. So it was cool. I owe a lot to that because I did get a lot of, kind of cool opportunities because of how big it got on Tumblr.
Well, I'm very curious as to how you started working with Substream. I don't even know the answer to this. This isn't like one of those questions that like I know the answer to and I just want to hear myself talk.
Yeah.
No, I'm curious.
Yeah. So I knew, Molly got me in touch with James Shotwell when he was the editor at Substream back in, this was December of 2017, because I had met Molly in the spring of 2012, around this time. Yeah, shout out to Molly Huddleston. I met her at a Bowling for Soup show. So I was wearing a shirt from a band called Par Six that was from Buffalo or from Albany, New York. And her, like, being from New York but living in Cleveland, she knew who they were too. So we connected, kind of became friends over that. And then we just stayed in touch over the years. And she got to start writing for Substream a little bit earlier than I did. So when it came time that they were looking for writers, she talked to James and said, "Hey, I've got this guy named Logan that would be interested." And then I talked to James, and the rest is history. My first piece was a census fail. Like, my first big, like, non-news item was like a census fail interview. So shout out to Census Fail as well.
And I just want to give a shout out to Jarrett, who is also a wonderful guest on.
Jarrett is an amazing person.
And yeah, he's a funny guy. He actually, we co-wrote an article for Substream, and I also did that with a guy named White once. And also,
that's right.
Just in general, the Adobe family loves him. But back to you, Emily, are we doing okay on time? Because I just get lost in White's woeful words.
I need to say that we just hit the 20-minute mark, and that's a great segue.
Look at that shit.
We're gonna, yeah, hell yeah! It's like it's ingrained in your mind. You know,
right?
Yeah, it's like I'm a parent. But
if anyone has any final thoughts before we take this amazing break with either commercial or music or both,
I do. I have a question. Adjective to describe the past 20-ish minutes of your life, Mr. White.
An adjective. I can't give one adjective. It's been the best 20 minutes of my life since this pandemic started. It's nice to have interaction with humans. And
we are not human.
To talk about. That's the plot twist, is that you're not actually human. I love it. I've always wanted to talk to a robot or artificial intelligence. So Scott, I love it.
No, I just want you to know that, well, like, at first I was like, really? This is the best, like, 20-ish minutes of your life? And then you said since the pandemic. I'm like, you know what? Might be true.
That's the best 20 minutes of my life ever has been this. Well, so good luck following it up with the next 20 minutes.
I apologize on behalf of the 20 plus years of your life that sucked ass. This is good. And I'll let Jed have a final thought so we go to part two.
Well, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for being on the show, Batman, Mr. Logan White.
We'll be back
for part two.
We'll be back.
Cool. Well, we'll take a short break.
Right.
So enjoy these Viagra ads, or if this is targeted to Ohio, all your shotgun shells. Confederate flags,
right.
And just sweethearts. And which, for the record, Confederate flag in Ohio, that makes absolutely no sense.
No sense.
Anyway,
no sense at all.
But that's like kind of contradiction. Anyway, enjoy this break. We'll be back with Walden's Words.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Waldman's Words here on iDobe. We have the illustrious Logan White, digital content editor for Substream, here on the show with us today. Logan, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm going to change my name on every social media platform to the illustrious Logan White, and that's going to go all credit to you.
I think you should full official name change. I think that should be your legal name.
I'm going to start doing that once it's, say, I don't even know if courts are open for shit like that, but if they are, I'm going to go do it in about an hour.
Okay, you're essential in my heart, okay?
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you. Thank
He's
you.
Illustrious via mind and essential via heart. But I think that this is a really good time to say thank you again. And I want you to tell me, because essentially, and you might cringe at this, but it's true, you could be seen as one of the, like, gatekeepers for content for an outlet. So what is something that you see that a publicist or a band or a manager does that just rubs you the wrong way? Because I know you could talk for hours on what rubs you the wrong way. So this is your time.
Sure. You know, something that I've never been a fan of, and it's for a variety of different reasons, but I don't like getting pitched via social media. Whether that's, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I even got pitched on LinkedIn like last week, and I don't really know why. Like, I mean, so I've never been a big fan of that. I don't mind getting, you know, follow-up emails, whether it's, you know, later in the day. Sometimes I'll get texts or calls if it's been like 2 days and I haven't responded, and that things like that don't bother me because I'm still working through all this. So like, you know, working for Substream and like working at like my other job and everything like that. So I sometimes will miss things, like not frequently, but every once in a while. So follow-up emails are never an issue unless it's within like 30 seconds or 30 minutes, you know, but pitch via social media is the one that just never gets a response from me.
So sliding into your DMs is not the best way to get my band coverage on Substream.
Not the best way to get coverage, you know. No. Now, if you want to slide in my DMs with other things, you know, with casual conversation, that's fine. But, you know, yeah, pitches, not that's not where they go. They go to the trash for the DMs.
Sliding into your DMs with quotes about the Maine.
That's right. If it's anything about the Maine, Third Eye Blind, or Dan and Shay, that's fine. I love it.
Okay. Well, what's a really good way to impress you, conversely, about a band that's basically, like, let's just say I'm in a band called Jed, Emily, and Scott, and we recorded our first, you know, pop punk-esque single. We have a video.
Sure.
How can we impress you, aside from obviously having a really good song and video?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, the specific pitches, I think, that really are, you know, sometimes they all start to, I mean, they all look the same after a while. You know, once you get, you know, hundreds of emails a day, and you're kind of shifting through them at the end of the day, or whether it's a break during, like, throughout your day, something that, you know, sticks out, and whether it sticks out in, like, it's a, you know, a personal way, and I know it's not easy to do that when these emails are pretty much just blasted out, you know? So I get that, but I think the thing that I like about follow-up emails is when they follow up and you know it's an actual, like, they're actually taking time to write that to you. And, you know, it's not just, hey, I hope your quarantine's going well, because you get that, you know, about 50, 70 times a day, you know, which is, it's a great sentiment. It's a sweet sentiment. I get it, you know, but when every email starts to look like that, you kind of get tired of it, you know? So something that's a little bit more personal, but even putting like a, you know, like for fans of, like, in the, you know, the email, like, header or like the subject line, I think, is in the way that kind of grabs your attention pretty quickly.
It's less copy pasta.
It's a little bit less copy pasta. And, you know, like, if it says for fans of, like, you know, Brand New, or for fans of, you know, Taking Back Sunday, for fans of so-and-so, like, I'm like, okay, like, I'll, you know, I love those bands, I'll listen to it, you know, but if it's for fans of, like, Death Heaven, I'll be like, not my thing, you know? So right. It's easier to kind of shift through and figure out what you're going to like if they just put it all out there up front and don't make you dig through to the end of the email to find shit.
So if some sophomore in high school wanted to get into music journalism or wanted to start a music blog nowadays, and there's obviously not a social media app such as Tumblr or MySpace like that that's as popular as it was in like the 2010s or early 2000s. What advice would you give them? Do you think that they should just adjust to what is popular now, such as like the TikToks and the Instagrams? Or do you think kind of moving their own way would be best?
The person that finds out how to capitalize on TikTok with music journalism is going to be entirely rich. And they should, like, if I could figure out how to use TikTok for music journalism, like, I would, but I don't know how you do it. that would be like the ideal if you could figure out how to do it. Without something like Tumblr being as popular as it is, or as it was, I mean, you're kind of left with like WordPress, and WordPress isn't like a social media site as much as it's just like a website, like a hosting site, you know? So if you wanted to do that, you could certainly do that. You could go the traditional route of just promoting it via your social media, which is never a bad idea. You know, doing that and then tagging artists every time you post about them or write about them, especially like if you're doing like a review for something like that. That's like the off chance, especially now when everyone's kind of sitting at home, the off chance they'll see it and give it a, you know, a retweet or a like or anything like that is always going to help you out. So if you were able to find out how to capitalize on TikTok, I would suggest that. But if you're a sophomore in high school and you're sitting at home and you don't know how to do that and you just want to write about music, I would just start writing until you just can't anymore. Just keep writing and putting out content and sending it to their publicist if you can find it. And if you can't find it, reaching out to other outlets or reaching out to writers that you know or just follow along on, you know, Twitter or anything like that is always like something I wish I would have done sooner.
Yeah, the game's already changed even since you were a youngin', and you're pretty young.
Yeah, it's changed a lot, but it's all, I think it's all for the better, mostly. mostly at least.
Right, mostly at least. TikTok, we're still waiting on the verdict.
Yeah, TikTok is successful. That's all you can say about that. I know people making X amount of money on that, and you know Lil Nas X has got big from TikTok and everybody else. So
yeah,
kudos to them. I wish I could do it.
And maybe like do some music journalism while you're doing the Renegade Dance. Maybe that's how you get the eyeballs, but then do your own. I'm just saying, no one's done it.
Right. I'm too.
No
old,
one's done it. Yeah, I might do that.
I'm too old.
That'd be cool. Yeah, Scott can't dance either. So,
well, walkers are difficult things to maneuver on the dance floor.
Yeah. So in terms of also getting to where you are, if I'm again like a sophomore in high school and I want to get to where you are, can you break it down for us a little bit of your day to day? Like, what actual subsets of tasks do you need to accomplish to get your job done as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, you need to, there's not much like every, because it's pretty much the same every day. You know, you're going to wake up and you know, it's starting about 8:30, 9 o'clock Eastern time. You're going to start getting an influx of emails, you know, and so you just kind of have to sort through them. And especially when you're starting out, the best thing you can do is respond to as many as you can, even if it's declining coverage. You know, that's something that I don't do a whole lot now because there's just no way I could reply to all of them, you know, but starting to make those connections and starting to take on, you know, pitches from bands is that you might not necessarily be the biggest fan of, but bands that you can, you know, say, okay, like their music is okay. Or, you know, maybe I want to do this interview or do this album review as like a favor to this publicist and kind of start building that connection. And, you know, I don't think that's ever a bad idea. I know it kind of sounds like weird to say, I'm going to review this record I don't like just to make a friend. But I think sometimes, like, especially when you're starting out, making connections is the best thing you can do in the music industry. And say that, you know, when they come out with a bigger artist or when their bigger artist is ready to do interviews, or if you get to a bigger platform or if your own website goes, whatever it might be, having those people in your corner is always, always a good thing to have.
Right. So step one, emails.
Emails for days. Emails for days. You know, get in touch with them. Answer their emails as much as you can. And start, if you've got ideas, just pitch it. I mean, the worst thing that they can do is say no. I don't think you'll ever really get laughed at for a pitch unless you're like, hey, have this high school band or have this band come play my high school prom, you know, haha. Like, you know, but if you can put together like a pitch that is serious and one that makes sense, I mean, it's worth sending out an email, and that way they see your name, they see you pop up, and goes from there. They'll start sending emails back and forth, and it's not a game, but it's very much like structured in a way that once you start going, it all just kind of unfolds from there.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question regarding pitching. I mean, obviously, besides Scott Waldman being pitched as a weekly contributor to Substream, what was the best pitch you ever got?
The best pitch I ever got.
Show.
I mean, one of my favorite things I've done recently is I did 2 years ago. In the summer, June of 2018, I did an interview with Tyler Posey and his band at the time. And we did it via the phone, and we did it just like via a conference call. And then they went on tour in the fall, and they came back around and said, hey, do you want to do anything else? Like, what would you want to do? We just did an interview, so we can't really do another traditional interview because nothing has changed since then. So the closest they were to me was in Chicago. So I took the day off work, we drove out to Chicago, and just basically hung out. So we basically spent a day there kind of like documenting their day, writing about their day. We did like a sort of an interview and kind of mixed it in with quotes like throughout the piece and everything like that. But that was one of my favorite things I've done. And now he's moved on to a different band and we did another interview with that. And I'm still working with them on a few different things. So, you know, I think that's one of my favorite things I've done. But, you know, interviewing Third Eye Blind was always cool. Working with Taylor Swift in a small capacity is always fun. So you get big artists that are like a lot of fun to do. But when you can do things that are a bit different, whether it is like spending a day with an artist or so-and-so, like it's always fun.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Especially for someone you admire. Wait, what do you say?
I'm sorry, Scott.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, we can make this a Tyler Posey appreciation episode, because I've had a really great run in with him in Warped Tour 2016, where I knew he looked familiar, but I didn't know why. and I thought he was a member of Knuckle Puck. And because we were backstage right before Knuckle Puck was about to go on, and I think he just kind of like he just went with it.
Yeah,
he was part of the band until some girl came up to me and she's like, "He introduced me to him," and I'm like, "Well, isn't he about to play?" And she goes, "No." So he's a very nice guy, and I'm an idiot. So
he's a great guy. I love him.
Was that the first program that you were backstage? I think that's that one.
Right? Yeah, that was Warped Tour 2016, right after, because Scott left in the middle of the day because he's lame.
Yeah,
and I went to go see Knuckleball.
But wasn't Tyler Posey's the one who's in Five North, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's his new band. Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
It's all come
They're great.
Back to me.
There you go.
Yeah.
I love it.
So it's emails. It's getting good pitches. Is there another key element to what you do? How do you stay creative? How do you make sure the writing stays good?
Well, it's interesting because every artist always generally like the thing that like piques my interest with an interview or like makes me want to do something specific like that is what story they have to tell, you know? So you can do interviews endlessly when it's about, you know, a new record coming out and everything like that. And that's a very routine thing to do. Like I could do that like pretty easily just because I've done it for 10 years almost, you know? So it's a very not easy, like starting out it's not easy, but once you start doing it for a while they all aren't the same, but you start to get like I notice a lot of the answers are the same when you ask about writing, recording and blah blah blah, and all that shit becomes the same, you know. So the thing that can stick out is when they've got an interesting story to tell, whether it's about, you know, if it's their first record in 6 years because they've been, you know, overcoming, you know, their addiction or like refining, like, you know, solving their mental health or, you know, whatever it might be. When you can do something that has a specific story in mind and you get to play a part in telling that artist's story, I think is what really piques my interest, what gets me excited to do something like that is finding new ways to tell a story rather than just the same like Q&A type format of an interview.
Right.
No, that's
And on the point of creativity, too, are there any pitfalls of writing that people who want to emulate you should avoid? Are there any classic no-nos that might not be immediately apparent?
I don't think so. I think, you know, it's just you understand that once you do your first few interviews, they're probably not going to be great. You know, whether it's an interview, if it's an album review, even your first few album reviews are probably going to be, unfortunately, pretty terrible. Because what you're going to fall into is just doing specifically for an album review, you're going to do like a track by track review. And you're going to say, well, track one is this, track two is this, and so on and so forth. But when you start doing an interview, for example, the worst question in the world you can always ask is how their tour is going. Because they're not going to tell you anything other than good. If they're going to tell you their tour is shitty.
How'd you get your band name?
All right. How'd you get your band name? You know, unless it is like a unique band name and they tell you in the pitch, hey, their band name means this is, you know, whatever. But like that's not common. Like if you were interviewing the story so far and you said, how'd you get your band name? I mean, the Newfound Glory song, I don't have to tell you, probably. I mean, so you know, right. asking the band name or asking how their tour is going, or you know, asking what they're doing when they're not on tour, when it's most likely gonna be writing, because what else what else do they do? You know, so it's a few things like that, like question wise and formatting wise, are like no-nos that you'll learn over time.
Right. Who is Logan White? What is Logan White?
Where is Logan White?
We actually got the answer to all of those questions. So I'm spent.
That's right. I am just in Ohio, just writing. I am an avid fan of Limp Bizkit, unselfishly so. I enjoy country music more than I ever thought I would, especially when I was in high school. And that's about it. I'm a simple man. I like country music. I like everything but bluegrass, really. So, yeah.
I am a
simple man.
Which might be the most impressive/depressive question I've ever asked anyone, including you. But what do you think is my favorite song? And I'll give you a hint. It's on the album. It's not, you know, a bonus track. What's my favorite song on Chocolate Starfish?
What's your favorite song on Chocolate Starfish? I hope it's not. I might be Roland, but I don't know if it'd be Roland. I don't know if you're that simple to go for Roland, but that is always a classic song.
It's a great song, but no, I wouldn't even put that much.
No. Five. Oof. Okay. You like My Generation? Is that your go-to?
I would put that in my top five.
Okay. Solid. Sorry. So I guess those two. Is it a single? Favorite.
It's not a single.
What? Not a single? All right. Was it? Oh, man.
One more. Again.
Full Nelson?
That's a good song, but nope. It'll be okay.
No. Okay. That's a solid one.
Thank you. It's more than
that's okay. Good. I love it. You didn't ask, but my favorite song on that album is Hot Dog.
No.
So
I know it's Hot Dog. No, but what's your
it
favorite?
It is Hot Dog.
What's your favorite song on Significant Other?
Okay. So Significant Other is an interesting album because it's got the three big songs, right? You got Milky Breaks Up and Rearranged, right? Which was kind of what put them over the top. But In Together Now is like a solid song that I wish, like, I don't know if how much attention it gets. I wish it would get more because I love that song. That would probably be
TV.
Was it?
Yeah. It had a video. It had a video with Method Man. I'd say.
Oh, shit.
I'd say it's probably like least successful single on that album.
Yeah.
It's like Nookie was.
Yeah.
Nookie's probably their biggest hit, right? Would you say so?
Either that or Break Stuff. I think Break Stuff is probably like when you hear the opening like guitar from Break Stuff, I would think that that's probably like what catches people. But also the I Did It All for the Nookie is like a very like hilariously like popular like lyric, you know. So, but it's got to be that. I mean, that album has to be the most popular one.
On Spotify, holy cow, I am wrong. On Spotify,
what is it?
Roland's their biggest song.
And Roland, yeah, the Undertaker song, yeah,
and also
Come On,
Blue Eyes is number two. Break Stuff is three. Take a Look Around,
okay,
is four, and My Way is five.
Okay,
there you go.
So is this the next Logan White Scott Waldman article coming to Substream?
We're just going to rank the best Break Stuff, and we're just going to write Break Stuff as number one.
I love
over
it
over and over again.
No, we ranked Fall Boy together.
We did.
You could describe that experience, and then Emily, I think we're good, right?
Yeah, we're almost out of time.
Holy shit, dogs! Yeah, talk about that wonderful.
How was that
writing with Scott Waldman White?
Listen, Fall A Do should have been number one. I got overruled because it's not my piece. But Fall A Do, for what it's worth, I did have a podcast episode that went up today describing why Fall A Do is the best Fall Out Boy record. So, you know, that's that on that.
Wow. The one thing you focus on that article is your gripe. Thanks a lot, Lou.
My gripe, yeah. Other than that, it was a wonderful piece. Scott Waldman is a wonderful person, and Emily can attest to that, but he's a wonderful person in general, because Emily's probably spent more time with you than any of us have on here.
Hey,
yeah,
Emily might disagree.
Very much okay.
Yeah,
you and I are in the sweet spot. We love Scott because we're at the medium distance from him.
That's
ask
right.
Emily, ask his wife. You're going to get wildly different answers.
We are always going to be 6 feet apart from Scott.
They became shit on Scott. Like, I don't need this.
ask his 6-month-old baby.
First words are gonna be I hate Scott.
Not dad. I hate Scott.
I'm my son's second favorite person. Fuck y'all. Anyway, we'll let Emily do the outro disclaimer. But Logan, thank you for doing this, considering we scheduled this episode approximately 17 years ago. When our Lord and Fuhrer Trump first took office. So
Yep.
Anyway, Emily, you got this.
Well, we'll leave on a positive note. You can listen to Waldman's Words live if you're not doing so already. Every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. We rerun bright and early Sunday mornings at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Or you can listen to the podcast version, which will include this show the day after it airs. Everywhere on Spotify, Adobe.com, iTunes, and your Amazon Alexa. Just ask Alexa to enable Adobe Radio. So, Logan, thank you again for coming on and doing this remotely with us. Where can people find you?
You can find me. I am all over the internet. I am the most popular person on the internet, on Twitter. Yep. Not so much on Facebook. On Instagram, I've got my solid 500 followers. I'm pretty famous. I'm pretty much a big deal. So I'm also always on Substream. So I've almost always have an article going up every day. So that's where I live and breathe, is on SubstreamMagazine.com.
Hell yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Waldman's Words. You can catch our host, Scott Lewis Waldman, on Instagram. Our lovely co-host, Emily Burke. She's kind of like our Vanna White, but even better, at Emily Burke with an E. I'm at Jed Fuchs. And for, ladies and gentlemen, for Scott Waldman, fuck Batman.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Hello, everybody. I'm back, and this is the end of the episode. You may have already heard a goodbye, but I'm just doing this little ending card right now just to make sure that you get all the information and also to say thank you so much for listening. We truly appreciate it. I know I say it in the intro all of the time, but now we have a little outro. And if you're tired of my voice, I'm so sorry. Look, I get it, man. I'm a little nasally. I'm very Jewish. I grew up in the valley. My accent is awful. One nice thing. I'm happy to be here. Maybe I'll have Jed come in and do these little outro cards every once in a while. Jed, I know you're listening. This is going to happen. So stay tuned for Jed. Just to reiterate, go and follow Logan White. He was an absolutely wonderful guest. Thank you so much, Logan, for coming on. You can find him on Instagram at Logan White. FYS, spelled exactly as you would think, like the color white. You can also follow him on Twitter at ANIAFC. You can find him there. You can follow Waldman's Words on every social media platform except for TikTok. I think we should start TikTok. I talk about it all the time. I am obsessed with TikTok. That is what I've done during this quarantine. So you can find us everywhere at Waldman's Words, spelled exactly like Waldman's Words, at Jed Fuchs, at Scott Lewis Waldman on Instagram, and at Lido Beach on Twitter for Scott, and at Emily Burke, B-E-R-K-E, for me on everything. So hope you had a great time listening to us. I know we had a great time doing this episode. One last thing. Let's see. Information you need before you leave. Stay cool. Stay true to yourself. Go out there and take the world by storm. And listen to Waldman's Words every single Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. This episode will rerun on Sunday. And Sunday, I can't do math. Okay, if today is the 19th, what is Sunday? If someone math whiz, do that. You can listen to this episode this Sunday, bright and early, if you like to wake up early for some reason, at 5 a.m. Pacific time, 8 a.m. Eastern time. But if you don't want to wake up early on Sunday, but you still want to listen to this episode, don't worry, because it will be up tomorrow, the 20th, as a podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Idobe.com, and your Amazon Alexa. Just ask Alexa to enable Idobe Radio, and you can listen to this episode and every episode we have before it, and then every episode we have after it, whenever you want to, or I was going to say wherever too, but really wherever you have the Alexa, unless you're doing it from Spotify and iTunes and all that fun stuff, then literally wherever you want to, you can listen to the show. Hiking trails and beaches are back open. As long as you're social distancing, go out there, listen to Waldman's Words while you're walking, while you're laying in the sun. Or if you're anywhere else in the country or the world, I don't know what your restrictions are, but maybe stay at home and listen. That works too. I swear it's great time. So I'm gonna go because I am rambling again, but thank you so much to Logan, and thank you so much to you for listening to the show. We will catch you all next time.